Radiolab is supported by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Radiolab is supported by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and can be more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Visit betterhelp.com/radiolab today to get 10% off your first month.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Hey, I'm Jad Abumrad.
I'm Robert Krulwich.
This is Radiolab, and today...
Hello.
Yes.
Or as a dolphin might say...
How would a dolphin say it?
I don't know.
Well, and you know what? That is exactly kind of the question of this next segment. I mean, the dream that a human being can talk to a dolphin or any animal, really, get in their heads and cross that gap.
This is a dream that humans have had since, like, forever.
Yeah, St. Francis of Assisi goes way back. Now, insofar as dolphins are concerned, after the John Lilly situation, researchers did get a little tepid.
Yeah, but they didn't stay tepid, as you say, for long.
No.
Because along came this woman.
Dr. Denise Hersey, director of the Wild Dolphin Project.
Who basically decided to take John Lilly's experiment and flip it. Rather than have the dolphin speak English, let's have the human speak dolphin. Or at the very least, let's create a shared language where humans and dolphins can speak.
Or at least whistle.
Well, you know, it's about finding a place you can meet.
Back to producer Lynn Levy.
Okay, so for Denise, this dream of finding that meeting spot, it goes back to when she was a little girl.
Well, when I was 12 years old, I used to page through the Encyclopedia Britannica in the days when we had books.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always stop at the whale and dolphin page, look at the dolphins and go, wow, I wonder what their brains are like because they've evolved in the water.
You were thinking that when you were 12?
I was a total nerd. In fact, I entered this contest in Minnesota, like, what would you do for the world if you could do something? And I actually wrote, oh, I would build a human-animal translator so we could figure out what was going on in the minds of animals. So, yeah, I don't know. I got the bug early, and here I am.
Were you having a fantasy about what you might learn?
A fantasy? No, I was just curious. So, I don't know. You look in their eyes, there's definitely something behind there. You just want to know what it is.
Fast forward many years, Denise got a boat.
And I went out to the Bahamas.
She was like, if I'm going to study these dolphins, I'm going to do it in the wild.
That's where they live.
So she tracked down a pod of wild dolphins.
Yep, yep.
And she just tried to blend in.
I actually anchored the boat in one spot most of the time.
This spot in the Bermuda Triangle.
In the middle of, I call it the Dolphin Highway.
Where dolphins come and go.
They could come by if they wanted to, and if they didn't, they didn't.
When they would come by, she and her team would just slip into the water.
And behave ourselves.
Just sort of watch, paying attention to who was who, which dolphin had a crooked fin, which one didn't.
And when they'd leave, we'd get out. And that's really how we operated for the first 5 years. And it worked.
5 years? She spent 5 years just watching? Not doing anything else?
Yes.
Doesn't this take an enormous amount of patience?
Well, sure. I mean, but after about 5 years, they started realizing, well, these guys aren't going to grab us and poke us and prod us. So they started just going about their own business.
Like feeding, mating,
nursing,
and talking. Or at least making a lot of noises, which she and her team would record.
Wow, that's all dolphin squeaky?
Well, dolphin make all these, yeah, like that. That's like there's like a clicking, kind of creaking sound that they make.
Ooh.
It sounds like a zipper.
Zipper, yeah.
Yeah, they make like whistles that are more kind of distinct, and then they make sounds that are like longer and weirder. And
do you have any sense that each of these sounds means something different?
Well,
that's exactly what we don't know.
I could tell you what kinds of sounds are correlated with fighting and with mating or disciplining a calf. What we don't know is, are there detailed kind of words in there? Is there more kind of encoded information?
But what they do know is that each dolphin seems to have its own kind of signature whistle.
Which is basically a name. Every individual has its own name.
Peter had a name. Nobody's ever asked me that.
Here's Margaret again.
And his name was...
Really?
It was almost saying, Peter here.
Right. So I can call you, Lynn, by your whistle, and you, Robert, by your whistle.
So I could be a dolphin going, Lynn!
Exactly.
Do they do that?
They do.
Huh. Not only that, apparently dolphins will use the names of other dolphins who aren't even around, like they can't see them.
Like they'll talk about each other behind their backs?
Yes, maybe.
Wow, that means that they're... using representations of things which aren't in front of them, which is sort of like the beginning of language.
If that's what they're doing, and we don't know, but if that's what they're doing, then yeah, that's kind of like the edge of language.
So, you know, it gives us hope that there's probably more information going on there than we know.
And now, finally, she has that device.
Which device again?
The magical, you know, human-animal translator device that she was dreaming of writing about when she was 12.
Yeah.
She has this box that can generate dolphin noises, and it can recognize dolphin noises. And if it works the way that, you know, that she's dreaming it'll work, it could be the first, like, real two-way back-and-forth conversation between a human and a wild animal.
So we're looking forward to the summer and getting out and getting more data and really exercising the boxes and see what happens.
Good, we're ready. So I beg my way aboard. Everybody good? Seasick pills and tummies? We left on July 8th from Florida and headed for the Bahamas to see this pod that she's been following kind of forever.
Almost 30 years now.
The boat is called the RV Stenella. Stenella is the scientific name for this particular type of dolphin, the spotted dolphin. Have you seen a spotted dolphin? I've never seen one in person.
What is this boat like?
It's like not a tiny boat, but it's not a big boat. And it was just absolutely full of humans.
And who are your humans?
Well, there's Denise, obviously.
How's it going?
And you got a captain.
My name's Keir Smith.
First mate.
Danielle.
Research assistants.
Allison Myers.
Les Mason.
Bethany Ollier.
Nathan Skripchak.
Volunteers.
Drew Mayer.
There's a acoustics expert.
Matthias Hoffman.
For a long time, I couldn't even figure out where everybody was sleeping because the boat seemed so small. I was like, there is not room for all these people on this boat.
Behind you, there's a hot soldering iron next to the fridge.
And I haven't even gotten to this guy.
Don't get into him.
His name is Thad Starner. So you didn't have, like, any dolphin experience before this, right?
Oh, hell no.
He's one of the guys who invented Google Glass.
I became a computer programmer so I'd never have to leave air conditioning, right? And I'm out here in what is this, 100-degree weather?
To do what?
So his job on the boat is to, he's in charge of these boxes.
Those boxes probably cost us $100K at this point.
We're looking for funding.
Looking for funding.
So he's the tech whiz.
When he came down to visit my lab, I was telling him about the two-way work and the difficulty with underwater stuff, and he said, oh, I build wearable computers. I said, oh, can you build me an underwater wearable computer?
Sure, that shouldn't be hard. 4 years later.
What does this machine look like that you...
It looks like a toaster, like one of those fancy chrome toasters, except you wear it on your chest.
Are they silvery, in fact?
They are silvery. They have a bunch of sort of knobs and buttons and speakers on them.
It's got pre-programmed whistles in it. I can punch a key and it projects whistle A, your whistle B, your whistle C.
She's programmed in signature whistles of some of the dolphins.
Rat, pellet, bijou.
And... we made signature whistles for ourselves.
Oh.
She can call their names and they can call her names. That's what she's saying?
That is the idea, yeah. And if they do call her name, this name that she's made for herself, then the box should be able to recognize it and can tell her that she's been called by name. It'll actually say into her ear in English, Denise.
Huh.
This is real-time, I call it real-time sound recognition, but it's real-time whistle recognition underwater.
Well, how does if she's made up this name for herself, how is it that they're going to know that that's her name?
Well, the idea is that they're learning. So she gets into the water over and over, and she says, you know, the equivalent of, hi, I'm Denise. Hi, I'm Denise. Over and over and over. And they learn it. You know, they develop this. Like,
oh, like maybe they'll just start to use it and call her.
Yeah.
So you hope they call you. I'd be really sad if they didn't call my name, but...
But I guess at the very least, she could call their names and see how they react.
Right.
Well, see, that would be a eureka moment, I think. If you hit the Lolita button and Lolita suddenly turned and looked right at you with a shock of,
exactly,
what the heck?
Wow, that human called me by my signature whistle. Whoa.
Has that happened yet?
It hasn't happened yet.
And this is something I just did not appreciate. For a while I was on this boat, I was like, why is this so hard? Like, this seems like it should be, these people are so smart, like this should be easy, but they're just like constantly being defeated by the ocean, basically, which I'm the ocean is like a worthy foe, but it's like the first year.
First year was a complete disaster, trying to get the hardware to work.
What happened the first year?
Everything broke.
It was Leak City. Basically, the boxes just kept shutting down as soon as they would get in the water.
That's not good.
It's not good. That's sort of not what you want.
No.
And last year...
we had the boxes working, but then we couldn't find the dolphins.
The dolphins just disappeared.
Where did they go?
You know, they went 100 miles away to another location.
They don't know why.
I kept up with my side of the deal, Denise. Your dolphins stood you up. Jeez.
And one of the reasons I was on the boat is it felt like everybody was thinking, like, this is it. This is the year. We're going to go out there, we're going to find some dolphins, and we're going to make some history. You ready?
Ready. Excited. Big box.
Now. Any minute now. Okay, it turns out it's not that easy to find these dolphins. They're not tagged. You know, they're wild dolphins, so you just, like, you go to where you think they might be.
Do you know that song?
You stare at the water, and you wait.
Yeah, what is that?
For the first 3 days, pretty much, we were just driving around.
Game of Thrones.
In circles, like, literally in circles. You know, I feel like I had, like a... 5-hour conversation about Game of Thrones. I've never even seen an episode of Game of Thrones.
Any dolphins anywhere?
Oh, right.
No.
There's nothing else to do.
Dolphins, come on, dolphins. We need you now. Come on, dolphins. Come on, dolphins. Come on, dolphins. To
dolphins,
kick in.
Dolphins. Dolphins.
See a piece of seaweed, it would look like a dolphin.
Dolphins, come on, dolphins.
Dolphins.
A wave that looks like a dolphin.
I have to say that I'm like, everything looks like a dolphin to me right
now.
Well,
there are days like that.
Dolphins!
Dolphins?
Oh yeah, they are right there. All of a sudden, out on the water, we see one fin, two fins, three fins.
Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Oh, there's so many of them, and they're so cool.
And so we're all standing there watching them. Denise turns to me, and she goes,
you want to go in?
I don't know. Do you recommend it?
And I was not prepared for her to say that. And also, I was holding recording equipment and everything. And so I ended up just having to go in, like, in my clothes. Like, wearing, like, my shorts and, like, a bra. And I had, like, all modesty aside, like, thrown aside. They were like, you can go in. And I was like, okay, go on. Jesus Christ. Here I go. I mean, it's a total sensory shift. The temperature changes, everything goes quiet. It almost feels like this, like, classic Through the Looking Glass moment, where you, like, you go through the looking glass and, like, everybody's walking on the ceiling.
Huh.
And I jumped in and there were two pretty big dolphins coming right at me, maybe 2 feet from my head, and staring at me. And I was like, I don't know.
What did you do?
I stayed very still. pretty much froze.
Now, how far were they from you?
2 feet.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. Dolphins are not small, and they were looking at me in a way that was like, we see you. And also, they make these sort of clicking, sonar-y sounds, which are like...
You think they were talking to you, or just talking about
well,
you?
Well, no, what I mean, what I think they were doing is sonaring me.
Oh, I see.
Sort of looking at me with sound. I mean, my head was vibrating. I mean, Whoa. They can see not just body shape, they can see your bones.
Oh.
They can see into you. Like, you really feel looked at.
Wow.
It was heart-stopping. That was un-f***ing believable.
I was waiting.
Oh, that was so cool. At that point, I was like, the trip could end now, and I go home happy. You know, and everybody was like, calm down. Those weren't even the right dolphins.
What do you mean?
Well, those were bottlenose dolphins. Denise studies spotteds.
Oh.
But the next day...
All right, onward for spotteds. Spotteds are bust.
We set out again. Go for a few hours. Bethany does this dolphin dance.
Leaping, energetic, spotted.
And?
Oh, got some.
Yeah! The dance worked!
Your dance worked!
You saw him, right?
Yeah, right there.
Yeah, there we go. Gotta be spotted, right?
So then, everybody's like, you know, it's like all hands on deck situation. Everybody's like strapping on the boxes and strapping on the headphones.
What are you doing?
Oh, so there's a lot of scrambling.
There's so much scrambling.
Oh, there's one off the bow here.
It's like a fire drill. Now,
I'm putting on my box.
Here's the problem.
So I'm just testing.
Unlike a captive dolphin, wild dolphins, they have other things to do. They have, you know, fish to catch. You kind of have to entice it into having a conversation. Otherwise, it'll just swim away. But how do you do that when you don't know its language? Well, turns out dolphins are just crazy for scarves.
Scarf high. Scarf low.
When you throw them a scarf, they sweep it up with their tail fin and then they let it go and it wafts through the water and another dolphin comes up and sweeps it up with their rostrum. So the idea is you use the scarf as kind of like a bridge. Denise and another diver will get in the water with a scarf.
We'll get in the water and we'll just start
passing it back and forth.
It's human to human.
Like, hey, look at this fun thing we're doing.
Let them watch. If they want to get in the game, we let them in the game. Sometimes we'll take the toy over to them, show it to them, and press the word for scarf. Say, hey, this is a scarf.
They just made up a whistle for scarf?
Yep. And ideally, and this is the key, the dolphins will pick up the word and use it too to ask for the scarf. If and when they do that, then you've got like a tiny bit of common ground that you can build on. Okay. Who you got?
We have 4 spotted dolphins.
Yeah.
Our little candidates, Kristen and Pallet.
Yes, we've been waiting for them, right?
We have.
Just before they jump in, Denise walks another diver through the game plan.
Oh,
and so you're going to hold it and you're not going to give it to him.
Okay.
You're going to entice it with him. You're going to be like, oh, this is so nice.
Should I like dive down with it and like wave it or?
Yeah,
first start at the surface and just really get them with you. Close.
Moments later.
All clear?
Good, we're ready.
Denise jumps in, followed by 3 other divers.
4 in the water.
Were you in the water this time?
No, I actually had to watch the whole thing from the deck. And like, you could see from the surface, 3 or 4 adolescent dolphins. See, Denise is right up next to one of them. You see the back of her head and her little snorkel.
That's good. She's surrounded right now.
What are they doing?
I'm not sure.
Oh, they're kind of like twisting around each other. I will say this. She is tremendously graceful in the water. She gets in the water and she's like totally at home.
So maybe she is a dolphin.
She might secretly be a dolphin.
Going like around and around. And there she goes under. Man, what is happening under there?
This is what it sounds like underwater.
This is the actual sound from the scarf dance?
They record everything that goes on under there.
Wow.
I mean, a lot of that is the dolphins just doing whatever they're doing. But some of it is Denise with the box making this scarf whistle over and over. Like, scarf? You want the scarf? Yeah? Scarf?
Because she's like trying to get the dolphin to say the word, right?
Yeah. eventually, she and the dolphins surface and...
He's got the scarf right here.
He's got the scarf.
One of the dolphins is holding the scarf.
Hey.
It's like this flash of red.
Yep.
And then they all go back under.
And if Denise comes back up with it, that's real good.
All right, wait and see.
After about a minute, she surfaces.
I think Denise has it now.
Got it.
She dives one more time. A minute later, dolphin has the scarf. And this went on and on. They were passing it back and forth so fluidly that I thought, maybe the dolphin has begun to ask for the scarf by name. Eventually, Denise gets...
Gravity sucks!
...hauled back up onto the boat. And we all just sort of gather around like, well?
Yeah, the two juveniles picked up the scarf right away, and we played some signature whistles, and played some scarf whistles, and then some sargassum came floating by.
Piece of seaweed.
Showed him that, and played the sargassum whistle.
You think you got any mimic?
Nothing that triggered the system, but, you know, we'll see what it looks like. Whew, it's exhausting.
Wait, she didn't get anything?
Well, I mean, nothing the box recognized as a match. You know, nothing that indicated the dolphin, like, learned a word.
Oh. It sounded like they were right there.
But there was this one thing that happened. She said that when she addressed one of the dolphins by its name... the dolphin turned around and looked at her and kind of cocked its little dolphin head.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. I'm so hoping that you'd say that. Oh, wow.
Also, there was this moment where Thad and Celeste were looking at the data later.
Who is that?
And they saw that right after Denise made her signature whistle.
Is that somebody responding with her signature whistle?
Another dolphin made its signature whistle.
Sweet.
Whoa, that's pretty cool.
You mean like she said hi and it said hi back?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, maybe. I mean, the thing is, dolphins make their signature whistles all the time. Huh. So it could be nothing. Or it could be this moment. I mean, she's a very rigorous scientist. Like, she wants that to happen another 30 times before even starting to take it seriously. But still, it does make you think about the possibilities. What do you want to ask?
I don't know. I want to ask everything, so.
Like what?
I'd like to know what their lives are like when we're not around. I mean, how do you spend your day, you know? Do they think about things? I mean, do they think about the future? Do they think about the past? I mean, we know they have long-term memories, you know? Do they remember their calves from 10 years ago?
Do they think about death?
Yeah, they certainly see it. It'd be anything you'd ask your friends, right?
Although part of me wonders, like, are they ever going to even get there?
What do you mean?
Well, if the goal is to have a conversation, and you're going to do it this way where you're in the wild, and you can't touch them, and you've got to verify every whistle 35 times, well, are they ever actually going to have a conversation?
Well, because this is, like, day one of the language lesson.
I get it, but, like, don't you feel like Margaret was, all the problems of that experiment aside, she was actually getting somewhere with Peter? Like, they were actually having a real exchange?
In the moment, perhaps, but thinking forward, I believe that what you can accomplish by talking, by having a two-way conversation, is just infinitely greater.
And I totally agree. But if it's taken her 30-something years to get to a maybe hello.
Yeah.
She doesn't even know if she got to hello yet. And if all she has is just a limited amount of time with these dolphins every summer, then 50 more times is going to take her 50 more years. And I'm just like, oh, God, the planet is going to be 17 degrees warmer by that point. Dolphins are going to have all migrated to some other spot. It just feels like, oh, come on. Just get in a pool and hold. Let the dolphin hold your foot.
She's already got the hello going for her, maybe. So that's like a start. And then, yes, in 50 years, she may have moved past hello to
a three-word sentence.
How's your mackerel today?
Yeah, I think that too. A three-word sentence, yes. I would put money on a three-word sentence in 50 years. Mm-hmm. The question is, do we ever get to the point of...
exploring death.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Lynn, do you have faith?
I have faith that if Denise continues with what she's doing, that we'll be able to talk about concrete things. We'll be able to talk about seaweed, and we'll be able to talk about coral, and we'll be able to have a scintillating conversation about scarves. I do believe that, and that is not nothing. I mean, that is pretty impressive in its own way.
Big thanks this hour to our producer, Lynn Levy. I'm Jad Abumrad.
I'm Robert Krulwich.
Thank you guys for listening.
Start of message.
Hey guys, my name is Keir Smith. I'm the captain of the research vessel Stanella.
Hi, this is Danielle Dobrowski, the first mate for the Wild Dolphin Project.
Hi, Radiolab. This is Allison Myers.
This is Nathan Skripchak.
This is Drew Mayer.
Hi, Radiolab. It's me. My name is Matthias Bachmann-Kuhn.
Hi, this is Celeste.
And here is the text I was supposed to read.
Radiolab is produced by Jad Abumrad.
Our staff includes Ellen Horn,
Thorne Wheeler,
Tim Howard,
Brenna Farrell,
Molly Webster,
Melissa O'Donnell,
Dylan Keith,
Jamie York,
Lynn Levy,
Annie Mills,
Kelsey Paget, and Matt Gilpin.
With help from Ariane Wack,
Barry Finkel, and Lily Sullivan.
Special thanks to Latif Nasser, David Rothenberg, Philip Hansen-Bailey,
Joshua Fuller,
Kelly Hall, and the crew of the Stanella.
Thanks again, Lynn. It was fun.
Have a good one.
Bye.
End of message.
Radiolab is supported by the John Templeton Foundation, funding research and catalyzing conversations that inspire people with awe and wonder. Learn about the researchers making the latest discoveries in the science of well-being, complexity, forgiveness, and free will at templeton.org/podcast.